I still remember the day I turned 16 and got my driver's license. I had been counting down the days to the freedom that meant for me. No more begging my parents for rides or waiting on their schedules. I was ready to take off on my own adventure, whenever, whatever I wanted. But that moment I had been waiting for didn't quite happen the way I was hoping for. First, I was more like 16 and a half because I had gotten in trouble a few times. My consequence each time was that my dad pushed back the date of my driver's license test a week. So officially, I was like 6 months late to that party. Turns out that those adventures I had been planning were far from whenever and whatever I'd wanted. I ended up having some pretty strict boundaries for when and where I could take the family car. And not only that, I was still waiting on my parents' schedule. I didn't have my own car, so I had to wait until they didn't need it anymore so that I could drive myself. Nonetheless, when I did drive, I rolled down those windows, cranked up the music, and the rush of freedom was amazing. Cue 90s pop, let's go. But that thrill, it didn't last very long because just a few weeks later, the flashing lights of a police car in my rearview mirror shattered my newfound confidence. One speeding ticket was all it took to remind me that freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. And sometimes the price of doing whatever you want is steeper than you expected. And isn't that how life works sometimes? We all love the idea of freedom to do whatever we want, but sometimes that freedom leads to regret. You want to do what you want, when you want, how you want it, and when you finally get that freedom, it feels so good. Until it doesn't. Like maybe you stayed up way too late watching your favorite show and the next day you were exhausted. Or you use that freedom to ignore your teacher's instructions and end up with a bad grade. Or you like start scrolling, doom scrolling through social media only to realize it's been like 5 hours and you haven't done your homework and there's like no way you're gonna finish it before it's due tomorrow. Having freedom is great until it isn't. And this can get even more serious. I mean, sometimes in our freedom, we start wanting things that aren't good for us and we think, it's probably not a big deal. I mean, one silly vape pen, no big deal. I mean, watching porn isn't really gonna hurt anybody. Playing video games all night, I mean, that's fun. It was one drink, one time. It's not like hooking up with that person's gonna have consequences for me. But here's the deal. Continually using our freedoms to choose things that hurt us can lead to misery. I need you to think about that. These choices can hurt you. You feel guilty or mad at yourself for giving in, saying things like, well, what's wrong with me? Like, what was I thinking? The trade for giving in is a loss of self-esteem. They can also hurt others. Trust can disappear. Maybe you got caught sneaking out and suddenly your parents are mad and your curfew gets earlier and your ability to go out just disappears altogether. The trade for giving in, a loss of freedom. Maybe the way you used your freedom ended up hurting your friends, and they want nothing to do with you anymore. Their hurt is real, and so are the consequences that impact you. It can become harder to say no. That's how addictions form. Something harmless and enticing can eventually control you. Your relationships, mental health, physical health, and character can all take a hit. We think we're exercising freedom, but instead, we're harming ourselves. So like, how do we know if we're practicing freedom? How do we make decisions that lead to good instead of regret? So let's go back to Genesis, the first book in the Bible. In part one, we talked about how people were created to live in freedom and responsibility. But in Genesis 3, everything changes. Let's check it out. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The serpent tricked Eve into doubting God's intention. The snake said, "God doesn't want you to eat this fruit because it'll make you like God." And Eve bought into that lie, thinking, "This is gonna give me freedom." The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Basically, Eve responded by explaining that they did have freedom, but there were also boundaries. Now, it's important to note that in Eve's response, she actually went further than the command God actually gave them. God told Adam that they couldn't eat the fruit, but God said nothing about touching it. Could it B, that Adam didn't relay the message? Had she made up extra rules for herself? I mean, we don't know, but whatever the case, the serpent didn't give up. Let's keep reading. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So now we see that the serpent planted the idea that maybe God is hiding something from them. Maybe there's something good that God's withholding because God doesn't want you to have it. It's this idea that maybe, just maybe, God's not good and loving. When we find ourselves doubting God's love and goodness, it happens to all of us. That's when we're prone to turn away from it, which we have the freedom to do, and that's exactly what happened. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. In that moment, Adam and Eve thought they were exercising their freedom. They probably thought, hey, we're over here making our own choices. This is what freedom looks like. But what they didn't realize was that not all choices lead to freedom. So like, what happens next? Well, they ate the fruit. At first, it seems fine. But then shame kicked in. They hid from God. The harmony they had with God and each other was gone. Meanwhile, their choice ushered total chaos into the world, breaking everything in its path. And here's the thing. Before the fall, Adam and Eve had real freedom. They walked with God in the garden, fully known and fully loved. They had peace, joy, and purpose. Their choice didn't lead to more freedom. Eating the fruit did not make life better. It made life harder. Shame entered the picture, and their relationship with God became strained. Their relationship with each other suffered consequences too. And they experienced consequences that affected the rest of their lives. And while they could still experience peace and joy, those things might be more difficult to find. And yes, they still had purpose in the world, but they'd face new difficulties as they worked to achieve that purpose. I need you to remember this. If it isn't beneficial, it isn't freeing. The Apostle Paul, a teacher in the early church, understood this. In the New Testament, he wrote, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything." Paul clarifies that not everything is beneficial, even if it's technically allowed. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Paul says, "I will not be mastered by anything," highlighting that some freedoms can actually become addictions or sins that control us. We experience true freedom through Jesus by turning away from destructive behaviors, not indulging in them. How we choose to use our freedom should be guided by what's good for us and what honors God and what builds others up. That leads to real freedom, and real freedom sets us up to live well. Now, we might think skipping practice sounds free. It's, I have more time to do what I want to do. But when you lose that spot on the team, it's not so freeing anymore. Or maybe you're like, I'm going to eat all the junk food I want. That's freedom. Well, it's freedom until you get sick, and then it's not freeing. Freedom isn't just about doing what you want in the moment. Real freedom is about making choices that lead to something good, something beneficial for you and others. Can we just be honest though? We all occasionally make the wrong decision that isn't beneficial. So like, what do you do then? Let's go back to Adam and Eve. See, even when Adam and Eve messed up, God still pursued them. God still loved them. God didn't leave them alone in their shame and regret. It's not the end of the story. God didn't want it to end there. See, many years later, God changed the narrative and it altered human history forever. The story reached its ultimate pinnacle. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Out of God's love for us, God allowed the worst thing to happen to the best person. In Jesus, we experience the extent of the goodness and love that God has for us. Jesus gave up his life so that we can have it. He is our Redeemer and Savior. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Because of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, you and I, we get to have a close relationship with God that lasts forever. It's not about what you and I do. It's about what Jesus already did. Jesus' dying on that cross was God moving towards you and your life. Jesus didn't show up and tell us to prove our worth. He came to show us how much worth we already have in him. And now we get to partner with him to move toward the life he has for us. We get to use our freedom to make life-giving decisions that lead to a free and abundant life. So how do you use your freedom to make choices that you won't regret? Friends, first I want to tell you, slow down. Before you rush in and make a decision that could cause unnecessary harm to you or others, pause, pray, and consider a few things. When we're rushing through life, we have the tendency to skip past important decision-making skills that can make all the difference. So here are three simple questions you can ask yourself once you slow down and pause. So the first question is, what do you want most? Do you want to be trusted? Do you want to succeed in school? Do you want to have strong friendships? Do you want to make decisions that honor God and show love to others? Take some time to think about it. Grab a sheet of paper, write down what you hope people think and say about you. Post that page somewhere that you can see it every morning. Use what you want most to guide how you choose to use your freedom. Pray about it. Spend time reading the Bible. God's Holy Spirit can guide you towards the life and goals that honor God. Okay, so the second question is, what do you want right now? Sometimes what you want in the moment, like staying up late, doesn't line up with what you want most. When you know what you want most, you're able to ask yourself, is what I'm about to do helping me or stopping me from achieving what I want most and what God wants for me? If what you're about to do doesn't line up with what matters most, run. No, I'm serious, run. Do whatever it takes to escape that situation and make the wise choice that will lead to real freedom. Now, the third question is, why do you want it? I mean, ask yourself, what am I hoping that this choice will give me? Sometimes when we're hoping a decision will give us approval from others or a feeling of importance, in those moments, we need to remember that we are already loved and valued. And when it comes down to it, doing something that isn't beneficial can never bring us something good. All right, so let's try an example. Can you go back to my story in the beginning when I talked about getting my license? What did I want most? See, I wanted to have freedom to drive. I wanted my parents to trust me to drive. What do I want now? Well, as I was speeding down the highway, I wanted to drive fast and feel cool. Why do I want it? Well, maybe my friends were in the other car speeding. Maybe I wanted to show off and feel accepted. Had I remembered what I wanted most, maybe I wouldn't have been speeding. If I had remembered that I didn't have to search for approval from my friends, maybe I would have slowed down. When we're willing to slow down and ask ourselves these questions, we can be more intentional about making choices that lead to freedom. Here's the good news. You don't have to do everything that pops into your mind. Maybe no one's told you that before, but it's true. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers you to say no to the things that are not helpful. And when you do say no, there's a real payoff: more confidence, better overall health, stronger friendships, a freer conscience, and increased peace because you're not hiding things or covering up mistakes. This is a kind of freedom that leads to a better life, not a temporary thrill. It will not always be easy. In fact, doing the freeing thing is sometimes more difficult, but God is with you no matter what. And when you mess up, God doesn't give up on you. God's love never changes. God is always there to forgive, restore, and to help you move forward. So this week, think about the freedom you have. Are your choices leading to something good, or are they leaving you with regret? Remember, if it isn't beneficial, it isn't freeing. When you choose what's beneficial, you're stepping into a life full of purpose and joy and real freedom.